Every other day, a driver picked up Norma Chatty and took her to Portland Adventist Medical Center.
You go, you have your blood drawn and sent to the lab. Then, depending on the count, you need an infusion or you don't.
A blood transfusion, about once a week. Without it, she would die in days.
Then, the poker, the professional poker. She just roams each floor, finding veins. And then, time-wise, each unit is 3 hours. So Ride Connection picks me up at 8. I'm there at 8:30, and I get home in time for Rachel Maddow, which is 6 o'clock. My existence right now is certainly not living, but I'm alive.
In late 2012, Norma was diagnosed with a blood disease that turned into terminal leukemia. The transfusions that kept her alive cost about $2,500 each. Norma paid $15 out of pocket. Medicare and insurance picked up the rest. A year after her diagnosis, Norma decided living this way just wasn't worth it. So she decided to prepare for the inevitable.
I asked my doctor, when I stop infusions, what will I have, 5 or 10 days? And she said, yes.
But what Norma didn't expect was to find herself in the gap between medical care and end-of-life care. The pragmatic question she faced became a delicate balancing act between time and money.
Do I have enough money to go into a foster care home, etc.? And to coordinate my death so that my body is still fresh when they come to pick me up. When I die, I want my body to be donated.
So Norma set out to orchestrate her final blood transfusion to coincide with finding a place to die. She wanted a room of her own and hospice care. But Norma wasn't eligible for hospice because she was still getting life-prolonging blood transfusions. Let's take a step back. It used to be that Medicare made it easier for people to start hospice because of two specific diagnoses, failure to thrive and debility. But new Medicare rules under the Affordable Care Act cut them out. That means more people like Norma end up living with serious illness but lacking support.
If you aren't willing to forego further therapeutic efforts, then you can't go to hospice. You almost have to say, I'm done. I'm ready to die.
Arthur Kaplan heads the bioethics division of New York University Langen Medical Center. He says advances in medical care come with a price.
Enormous costs at the end of life for very, very sick people who may not even really be having much of a quality of life. Yet, the public has made it very clear it doesn't want to hear about death panels. It doesn't want to hear about rationing, at least when it comes to end-of-life care issues. So, rightly or wrongly, we're paying.
Norma did get some help from palliative care. It's a team approach dispatched by hospitals towards symptom management, patient goals, and quality of life. Her palliative care nurse practitioner, Joanna Lezak, saw Norma struggle through her decisions.
It was very difficult to say, when am I done? When am I going to die? When am I going to stop blood transfusions, when they were still working for her? They were still allowing her to be as independent as she was. For people like Norma, I think the tragedy is that she was left to navigate a very complex medical system on her own.
Norma researched her options, but it turns out she fell into another gap. Her $2,400 monthly income from Social Security and pension checks was too much to qualify her for Medicaid. That would have helped pay for adult foster care. At the same time, a long list of foster homes rejected her because she couldn't afford the standard rate on her own. Then one of the foster homeowners had a change of heart and let her in at a discount because, she figured, Norma wouldn't be there long. Norma wrote a check for all the money she had left, about $2,000. The plan was coming together. She could now end the blood transfusions and go on hospice. On moving day, two hospice workers helped Norma pack a small bag. She left her wigs behind and her bed unmade. Then Norma was lifted into a minivan and driven to her final home.
Got a fancy belt here for you.
Here's what she said she learned about the business of dying.
Unless you're very, very poor or very, very rich, you ain't gonna get it. You're gonna end up in a place like this, which is just a stopover.
Norma lived there 10 days. It wasn't perfect, but it was comfortable, and she wasn't alone. A few hours after she died, Norma got her final wish. Her body was collected and given to medical research. I'm Kate McMahon, reporting.